Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, the Bible says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I want to thank you for listening in today. I hope you will continue to listen in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and we are going to continue on today. We have been studying for several weeks now on the subject of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. The Bible says over there, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. And we've been looking at how that would apply to the United States of America and other nations in the world since 9/11/2001. And of course, we are here in a few weeks going to come up on the 9/11 year anniversary, and we will probably still be looking at that at that time. But before we get into that today, I've got a couple of announcements that I want to share with you, and one of those is a Bible prophecy conference, and this is going to be at Midway Baptist Church. This is August the 20th through the 24th at Midway Baptist Church. They'll start at 7:30 nightly. Pastor Greg Thompson, and the preacher is going to be Brother Buster Mullins. And if you'd like more information concerning that, you can call 423-895-9313. That's a Bible prophecy conference with Brother Buster Mullins being the visiting preacher, and Midway Baptist Church, Brother Greg Thompson is the pastor there. And that's August 20th through the 24th, 423-895-9313. And so I wanted to mention that this morning. I'm looking forward to going down and hearing Brother Buster. He's a blessing, and being able to be in that meeting there. And then let me also mention that quickly coming upon us is the fall semester of the Victory Baptist Church Bible Institute. And if you are interested in that, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church has a satellite school, and you have the option. You can go, you can take classes online, you can take classes correspondence, you can go to the main campus over in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, or Mount Lebanon Baptist Church right here just outside of Boone. We have a satellite school, and for more information, you can go to www.vbcministries.org, www.vbcministries.org. And this fall semester is going to start, the satellite school is going to start August the 16th, so it's not too late to get signed up. And we have some new students starting this year, and some ladies are starting, and we're thankful for that. We have some we have probably in the satellite school, I'm going to say 12 students, and maybe even more than that by the time everybody gets signed up. But the classes this fall, if you know a preacher, if you know a young preacher, if you know somebody that just wants to study and learn more from the Word of God, there's going to be three classes on the Thursday night. That would be Old Testament Survey. That's the first class. And then we have How We Got Our Bible. That's the second class. Brother Kenneth Forbes teaches that class. Brother Tull Oaks teaches the Old Testament Survey, and then I teach the last class, and we're going to be looking at studying church doctrine and administration. So looking forward to school starting back at the Victory Bible Institute. If you're interested, give us a call. Let us know. I want to say good morning to Noah before we move on. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. It's good to be here. I want to say welcome to all our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia. We do appreciate our listeners here.
We do, and Noah and I are both battling allergies today.
Yes.
So we're both trying not to cough on you. We'll do our best. But anyway, I do appreciate that, Noah. And we're going to just read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. I have been dealing with this for several weeks now. I think, I'm going to guess, I think it's 8 weeks here on the radio broadcast. But Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. And the reason this is significant, I've said this before, not because some Bible teacher, preacher came along and said, oh, that sounds like 9/11. But immediately after 9/11, 2001, the next day, Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle came out in a joint resolution from the Congress and the Senate. And this was the this is a matter of public record. You can go back, search this out, find it for yourself. This was the official response of our federal government. The day after 9/11, Senator Tom Daschle came out. This is part of his statement. He said, I know that there's only the smallest measure of inspiration that can be taken from this devastation, but there's a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to us at times like this. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars. That is what we will do. And so this was the official response of the federal government, the Congress, and the Senate, a joint resolution. Tom Daschle comes out, reads Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10, in its proper context. It is not a passage of Scripture to bring comfort. It is a passage of Scripture that is pronouncing the judgment of God upon Israel because they did not heed the chastening hand of God. God allowed the Assyrians to come in and breach the wall and carry a number of people away into it's called the Galilean captivity. If you actually study it out and find a Bible handbook, Bible commentaries, this is a very small blip on Bible history radar. It's not something you're going to learn about in Sunday school, but nevertheless, it happened. The nation did not heed the warning that they were not invincible, that they could be invaded, that a foreign army could come against them, and that happened, and they did not heed. What they did, they said, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. So Tom Daschle uses this passage of Scripture, and he doesn't say to comfort us, but he said, I believe that it speaks to us at times like this. Now, and then he said, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with a dressed stone. And at the end of it, he said, that is what we will do. Now, if we take that as happening the day after 9/11, if we were to fast forward, we're going to start thinking about what happened after 9/11 now. 3 years to the day after 9/11, John Edwards, who at that time was the vice presidential candidate, he gave a speech at the Congressional Black Caucus prayer breakfast. And he gave this speech on September 11th, 2004. Now, I'm going to read to you his opening remarks. He said, and this is John Edwards, vice presidential, to the Congressional Black Caucus prayer breakfast. He said, good morning. Today, on this day of remembrance and mourning, we have the Lord's word to get us through. The bricks have fallen, but we will build with dressed stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will put cedars in their place. And let me show you how we are building and putting cedars in those three hallowed places. And he goes on down and he gives examples of what's going on at the Twin Towers, at the Pentagon, and at the field in Pennsylvania is what he refers to. So we see that 3 years later, John Edwards. Now, Tom Daschle comes along and he uses Isaiah 9 and 10 and he says, we will. That is what we will do. John Edwards comes along 3 years later and he says, we are. Let me show you what we are doing, how we are putting cedars back in their places. And so And it's interesting. In the Bible, you'll find a principle that a judgment, a word from God, a testimony is established by two or three witnesses. You find that in the Old Testament. You find that in the New Testament. You find that in dealing in the church. Matthew chapter 18, if a brother has an offense, let there be two or three witnesses. You know, you find this all throughout the Bible, that testimony is established by at least two witnesses. Here we have two witnesses. There are many others. I've pointed out some of those already, but we need to ask ourselves the question, did America as a nation after 9/11, did we humble ourselves, turn back to God, have a change of heart, repent, as the old preacher might say, get right with God? And the answer to that would be no. In fact, America, we are far worse off morally than we were before 9/11, 2001. And I'm not going to give all the instances of that. I certainly don't have time to go through everything today, but we are much farther away from God as a nation now than we were before 9/11, 2001. And in spite of all of that, our national motto has become, I mentioned this at the All-Star game a few weeks ago, Joe Buck came out and said in the introduction, they had a song, can't remember it now, the guy that won American Idol, Phil Phillips, and sang the song Home, I think is the name of it. But anyway, Joe Buck came out and in his little introductory speech said, we rebuild and reaffirm for the world the indomitable spirit that defines us. And so we see this attitude over and over and over again. We will build. We will change them into cedars. Now, the question I want to put before you today is, how did our nation set about to rebuild after suffering the physical, the psychological, and the financial setback of 9/11? How would the nation set about to rebuild? And I want to give you something in the time remaining. You'll have to pay real close attention. This is a complicated matter, but I'm going to try to make it easy to understand. I'm going to give you a little bit of American history. Have you ever wondered where the stock exchange come from? I want to give you the history of the stock exchange. I'm going to read just a little paragraph from the book The Harbinger. It's on page 147. But it said, in March of 1792, a secret meeting took place at a Manhattan hotel. It involved 24 of the city's leading merchants. The purpose of the meeting was to bring order to the trading of stocks and bonds while protecting the trade from competition. 2 months later, on May 17, 1792, the merchants again gathered together, this time at 68 Wall Street, to sign a document. The document would seal the goals set forth at the first meeting. It would be the founding of what would ultimately be known as the New York Stock Exchange. The document was called the Buttonwood Agreement. The organization born from that was called the Buttonwood Association. Now, the reason they called it the Buttonwood Association is because in those days, they would commonly meet together under a big buttonwood tree. And so they called it the Buttonwood Association. Now, when you think about 9/11, if the attacks of 9/11 would have taken place anywhere else in any other city in America, it would not have had the financial impact that it did by destroying the World Trade Towers and closing Wall Street. And that is the reason why. Anywhere else, if it had been in Miami, if it had been in Denver, if it had been in Dallas, it would have not closed Wall Street down. If Wall Street would have closed down, it wouldn't have been for several days. It would have been a matter of a day or maybe a few hours. But when the Twin Trade Towers collapsed, Wall Street being just down the street, the stock exchange was closed for 6 days after September 11th, 2001. The stock exchange did not open again until Monday, the 17th of September. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 10, It said the bricks are falling down. We've talked about the towers turning into dust, falling into their own footprint. But the second part of that verse says, the sycamores are cut down. Now, Webster's 1828 dictionary, that is a dictionary that I refer to quite often in preaching and teaching. If you don't have one, you ought to get a Webster's 1828 dictionary. If you look up sycamore in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says a species of fig tree. The name is also given to the Acer majus, a species of maple. This name is also given to the plane tree or buttonwood tree. A buttonwood tree is a sycamore tree. Now, the Bible said the sycamores are cut down. Now, I talked about already the sycamore of Ground Zero that fell on 9/11 as a result of the Twin Towers collapsing and the debris falling down. And they took an actual sycamore tree, they put the stump down the street in a churchyard and made a monument out of it. They took the roots out of the ground, and an artist turned it into a sculpture honoring 9/11 as well. So they took that sign of judgment and turned it into a sign of defiance. And so there is the sycamore, a real physical tree of Ground Zero. But there's also the sycamore of Wall Street that fell 6 days after 9/11. Now, when the stock market opened back up Monday the 17th of September, it suffered the largest point crash in Wall Street history up to that time. President Bush was pushing to open Wall Street back up just as soon as possible. He wanted it opened up by Thursday or Friday, but it just did not happen until Monday, the 17th of September. Now, Monday, the 17th of September, 2001, was a significant day on the Jewish calendar. And I want you to listen real close to how I'm going to explain this. Now, we in America, we follow a Western Gregorian solar calendar. Our days are based on the sun. But the Jewish people, some, still follow a Hebrew lunar calendar, and they have different names for the months. All of their months are 30 days because it's based on the moon and not the sun. For example, today is Tuesday, August the 7th, 2012. If you go to on the website, Jerusalem Post, I used to get the Jerusalem Post. That's the newspaper in Jerusalem, sort of like the USA Today. Well, that's what they get over in Jerusalem, one of the main newspapers. If you go to their website, you'll find out that today, beside, it'll have Tuesday, August 7th, 2012. Then it'll have 19 AV. AV is the name of the month. 19th of Av, the year 5772. And so they have both on their web page. Now, Monday, September 17th, 2001, was the 29th of Elul, 5761. And that was the last day of a Hebrew Sabbath year called the Shemitah. Now, this radio broadcast is called the Blessings of Liberty. And every week when we come on, I quote Leviticus 25 and 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That chapter, Leviticus chapter number 25, the whole chapter describes how that the children of Israel were supposed to observe a Sabbath year. During that Sabbath year, the crops would rest, the people would not work like they usually did, the debtors would be released from their debt, debts would be canceled, slaves would be set free. It was a year of liberty. And every 50th year was to be a bigger celebration, and it was called the Year of Jubilee. But the Sabbath years were years of rest. It's described in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 2, and this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release, which is the Hebrew word shemitah. It's the Lord's release. Now, wouldn't you say if we had something like that every 7 years, boy, most people, they'd say, praise God. I'll run my credit card up because next year's the shemitah. Now, that wouldn't be right. Their economy was based on that 7 year, but this was meant for a blessing. It was meant for a blessing that people could get out of debt, that they could have a fresh start. They were supposed to observe the Sabbath years. Now, the Jews were given the Sabbath days and the Sabbath years. They did not keep the Sabbath years. And those who are Bible students, you know that the 70 years Babylonian captivity was a year for every Sabbath year that they failed to keep. That's why it was 70 years captivity. And you can read about that in Leviticus chapter number 26. But God meant for those Sabbath years to be a blessing. But they disobeyed those Sabbath years. They didn't want to give up their profit during those years or not grow something during those years. So that was meant to be a blessing eventually became a curse. Instead of keeping what they had, they ended up losing everything that they had, and that was by the judgment of God, because God had ordained that every seventh year would be a year of shemitah, a year of the Lord's release. Now, 9/11 was not only a physical blow to America, but it was a financial blow to America. But America's attitude after 9/11 was, we will rebuild. We will come back stronger. Whatever's happened is not bothering us. We're just going to carry right on, and we're going to rebuild and make things bigger and better than they ever were before. Now, as a result of what happened on 9/11 and the stock market crashing, just as soon as it opened back up, it was the largest one-day crash in Wall Street history. And at that time, there were already problems in the economies of the world and in America. And the Federal Reserve began lowering the interest rate. That's one of the first things that they did to get the economy going again, to get people buying and borrowing and spending money. And a long story short is the years after 9/11, there was this time period of easy money. Many of you remember what it was like just a few years ago. There was a building boom in America. People were buying. They were building. They were buying second homes. They were getting cars and getting loans for 7 years and no interest. And people bought houses they couldn't afford and they'd have never, ever been able to get a loan on in the years previous to that. Shopping. President Bush said, you want to help America, go shopping. People spending money. And I mean, it was just a crazy, crazy time period. And I remember seeing what was happening during those times. And I remember thinking and talking to people and saying, you know, it just can't go on like this. People were just, the attitude was, put that on my account. You know, I've got credit, so I've got money. Now, that was what happened after 9/11. Now, if we go forward exactly 7 years from Monday, the September 17th, 2001, to the next, I'm talking about to the exact day, to the next year of release, the Jewish calendar, the holidays, the Sabbath year, they're exactly 7 years apart because they're based on a 30-day month. And so if we fast forward to the next 29th of Elul, 2008, from 1 year of release to the next, from one shemitah to the next. The word shemitah, the Hebrew language, it means release of debt or suspension of labor. It comes from a word which means to fling down as in a fall. And so if we go forward from one stock market crash, exactly 7 years, that would bring you to September 29th, 2008. And you know what happened on September the 29th, 2008? Exactly 7 years after the stock market opened back up with the largest crash in history, there was the next greatest single-day stock market crash in Wall Street history happened exactly 7 years after that. I believe that's a sign of the judgment of God to a nation that would not listen. And just the month, the weeks before that, that was the time period where Fannie and Freddie fell. That was when Lehman Brothers collapsed. And then on September 29th, the stock market crashed. On that day, September 29th, 2008, the stock market lost $700 billion. There was exactly 7% of the stock market was wiped away. The stock market lost 777 points on that day, and that all happened exactly 7 years from the day of the last greatest one-day stock market crash in stock exchange history. And all of that was a result of what happened on 9/11. It was a result of trying to get the economy back after 9/11. It was a result of the attitude, we will build, we will come back stronger. And so there was a building period, but all the gains of the we will rebuild were wiped out, were gone. And you think about that this morning, that means that every bailout, every closed business, every person that lost so much of their retirement money as a result of that, every business that went out of business, every foreclosure of every house, every bankruptcy, every bank closure during that time, all because of what happened after 9/11. We will rebuild. Well, we did. We did. There was an effort to do that, but it was all wiped out in a day. And so how interesting that is. The Bible says, my time is quickly come and gone today. Pardon me. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. You know what they did? They said in Israel, we'll build. We'll build bigger. We'll build greater. God said, I'll let you build great houses, and they'll sit there empty without inhabitant. Right around Watauga County, right around Virginia, right around Tennessee. Go anywhere you want to. I have a cousin up in New Jersey I was talking to last week. Go anywhere you want to. You're going to find the same thing. Great houses without inhabitant. We've made our money God in America, and God is judging us because of that, because we've turned to money, we've not turned to God. Ezekiel 13:14, so will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today, but we do appreciate you listening in, and we hope this has been a blessing to you. You say, preacher, what should I invest in? What's a safe investment in these tough times? Invest in the Lord's work. Send it on ahead. You won't lose anything there. Well, time's come and gone. Thank you for listening. Noah's going to come and give us the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.